Andrew. So, you know, God speaks to us in so many different ways to get something across to us. And this morning during the worship, I was, you know, just trying to find myself in the presence of the Lord, and I was overwhelmed by sadness of a broken heart. And for some reason, I took up my phone and I went onto my phone this morning, and someone has sent me a message asking me just if I can help them just, you know, facilitate funeral arrangements in preparation for her husband passing away. And this morning, I want to ask you, if you sit in here and you have a broken heart, or maybe you're sad and you're going through a whole lot of things and you don't know where to go, I want to actually ask you to be the most courageous and brave that you've ever been and stand up. Because I believe God wants to speak to you this morning. And if that's you, I want to ask you to be brave, stand up. And I just want to pray. I just want to pray for you. We want the goodness, the love of the Father God to come in here this morning and start to touch the hearts of those of His people that are brokenhearted. So, Father God, you can see the faith in the people that have decided to just take a step of faith this morning, Father, and stand up. Lord, you know exactly, Father God, where they are, what they're going through, Lord. And we ask you, Father, right now to come in and touch every single heart that has taken this step of faith this morning to stand up. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that right now you're reminding them just how much you love them, Father God. You're reminding them, Father God, that the things that they're experiencing going through, Father God, that there is always a way out, and that no matter how far that they feel that they are from you, Father, that they can press into you right now, Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you, these are standing up, just let's take one more step. Let's just lift our hands and say, Lord, I'm here, surrendering to you this morning, Lord, that you know exactly where I am. Father God, come in. Give me your wisdom. Give me your strategy. Come and heal my heart. Come and take away the sadness, Lord. Let me be reminded that I'm loved by you, that I'm cared by you, Father. In your mighty name, we say amen. Friends, God loves us. He cares about us. He's with us. He's partnering with you. Even in the midst when you feel like He's not there, He is there for you. Every day we face having to make different choices at different times under different circumstances. If you think about a choice that you made today to actually just come along and be under the Word and be at Grace Life Church. So those that are carrying a whole lot of stuff, you've made a better choice this morning coming to be under the Word and be in the presence of God that could catapult and start something, that stirs something up in you where it starts to change your life. Every choice made has a consequence. Some bigger than others, friends. Some so small that the consequence can be overlooked or not even recognized, but there's a consequence that is there. Sometimes the choices we make have a drastic, long-term effect on our lives and can produce things that we never expected to happen. So sometimes we are so quick to make a decision in the moment, but we don't understand the consequence and the longevity of making this choice, that there's going to be an outworking that's going to take place, and it could be a day, a week, a month, a year. It goes on and on. My question to us this morning is, what choices have you made in the last year, maybe the last 5 years, that given a second chance that you would change in a heartbeat, that you would go back and just change it? 2 weeks ago, we started a series called Better, New Year, Better You. And that is the most wonderful thing about the grace and love of the Father God, that His mercies and His grace are new every single day. Yes, there might be things that happened yesterday that we have to outwork today, but we can walk in the newness of the day in His grace and His mercy today as He calls us in to partner with Him and move forward. And Andrew, you know, kicked us off, or maybe I shouldn't use the word kicked off, but it was, you know, you kick off a soccer match, it gets exciting. You kick off the rugby, it can get exciting. But he started us off with better priorities, and it was a wonderful, profound message. When we put God first, the rest of our lives or life starts to fall into place. But Andrew also mentioned something very interesting, that sometimes we forget about this. If we get this backwards, so we're not putting God first, the most important things in our lives start to suffer. Last week, Dawn preached another profound, wonderful message around better relationships, and we discovered how important it is for us on having better relationships and surrounding ourselves with like-minded people so that we can get closer to what God has for us in our life and what He wants to do through us. See, the more time we spend with people that are not like-minded and kingdom single-focused, the more we're going to stray off into the very things that we don't want to do. The more we start to pull people around us that are after Jesus, love His kingdom, love the community, want to be involved, the more you start to get drawn and sucked and aligned into that kind of stuff. And today, like Andrew mentioned, we are continuing in the series Better, and it is Better Choices. And that was a good decision to take a sip of water. Yeah, good choice. All of us struggle from time to time making wise choices and better decisions. And before I carry on, there's always good news. So please don't sit here going, oh my gosh, this is going to be a heavy, hard preach. No, it's not. The good news is who we have on our side, who is with us, and what He's calling us to. We just got to learn to trust Him a little bit more in our lives. And not always feel bad for all the wrong things we've done. I'm not saying it's a license to go and do whatever you want, but you've got to learn to forgive yourself in order that you can move to the next stage of your life. And sometimes the people around you that you want to forgive you aren't going to actually forgive you. And you just got to say, Lord, I'm repenting, I'm changing, I'm going to just get onto this walk and I'm going to just walk it out, Lord, and You're going to add the people into my life at the right time that are going to be with me. And I pray and trust that later on, doesn't matter how later on it is, that certain relationships will be restored. This message today is incredibly important because when we make bad choices, friends, we open ourselves up to toxic things that can harm us from the inside out. My prayer for us this morning is that we would start to see how important God's wisdom is, and that He has given us this wisdom to help us choose wisely in this life that we've been given. But I am afraid to say this morning that without His wisdom, all of us run the risk of allowing toxic things into our hearts and minds. It's inevitable. If we are not allowing His wisdom in this world that we live in, we're going to go, it's either the wisdom of God or it's the wisdom of the world. And God gives us free will and free choice to choose which direction that we want to go down. When I say toxic, what I mean is any choices that lead us to poisonous outcomes that can lead to harm, sickness, or even death. And I know we can all agree with this morning. A desire to make better decisions in our lives more than likely stems from all the bad ones that we've made in the past. So we get to a place where, you know, it happens sometimes. We've made one bad decision, and now we realize that this is not so good for me, and we quickly make another decision, and we make another decision, where we're trying to rectify the first bad decision we made, but we get into a place of making one after the other, and then we look back and we ask ourselves, why are we where we're at? And it's because of some of the decisions we made. Even the most subtlest small decision that you think won't have an impact, if you continuously make them time and time again, the consequences start to rear itself and you find yourself looking back and you're so far off the path that you were actually aiming for. And we should use wisdom that is given to us by God to not only choose wisely the things of our lives, but use His wisdom, friends, to learn how to protect ourselves from toxic decisions, because they're going to spring up and they're going to appear because of the fallen world we live in. So we're constantly going to be around having to make decisions and choices regardless if they're good for us or they're bad for us. Sometimes we just, and in the moment, make a decision and then there's a ripple effect of that decision in our lives. But the book of Proverbs offers us the best way to live with wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Friends, the author is telling us this morning that the beginning of wisdom is having a fear of God. And I know right now, sitting here, that what that statement is starting to stir up in everyone sitting here this morning. Are you telling me that in order, I'm getting ahead of myself. Are you telling me, or it's stirring up, Ryan, are we not under the new covenant? Are we not covered by the blood of Jesus and covered by the grace and mercy of God? Stirring up this idea of fearing God seems to go against the biblical principles of teaching that we are loved by our Father God. Think about it. John 3 verse 16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." Why would we fear him if he loves us? And how does that help us make better choices? Oh, I get it, Ryan. What you're saying is that we got to live a life fearful of God, because if we don't make the right choices, he's going to be angry with us. We're going to be cursed and we're going to live in a place from a place of what the choice that we've made, and he's going to leave us there because we are making the wrong choices. Friends, no, 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 no. That is not what I'm trying to communicate with us this morning. This word for fear can be best understood as reverence and respect. This word reverence is an attitude of deep respect and love for who God is. And when we begin with a deep reverence and respect for God, because of his position and who he is, he's the all-powerful, the all-knowing, he's the beginning and he's the end, he's the creator of heaven and earth, he is the reason that we are even on planet earth. When we start to see him for who he is, sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who's given us a second chance, when we see him that way, when we start to acknowledge, friends, who we are in him, that we're sons and daughters of God, that we're made in his image, friends. When we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, that we have all the favor and blessings of God, friends. Friends, we begin to live with wisdom in our everyday life and everyday choices, because we know who God is, because we trust him, because we're growing in this wonderful relationship with him. This word fear, that as we build our relationship with Jesus, matures into a deep and abiding trust for God because of the relationship that we pursue on a daily basis and because we see how wonderful he really is. Think about the patriotic David. I just love David. Think about his relationship, spending the lonely nights with God. Those lonely nights, getting to know God, saw him know who was God and how he could trust God. That when not one other Israelite wanted to take the field against Goliath, because of his stance and understanding and trust in God, David, the small shepherd boy, was able to take the battlefield, charge down Goliath, and take back the land and the plan that God had for them, because he understood who God was and the wisdom and the understanding and the life that God gives us. Ultimately, it is our trust in God, friends, that helps us make better choices. Trusting in God means having complete faith and reliance on God's power, goodness, and promises. Believing that he will guide and provide for you, even in difficult situations. When you don't think anything's happening, God is there and he is providing for you. Essentially, putting your life, your decisions, your choices in his hands, based on the belief that he is reliable and will always act in your best interest. No one has to answer that, but do you believe that? Signs and wonders follow those who believe the truth about who God is. And you know, as I've started to outwalk this life, I've been a believer for 15 years, so I'm still pretty young in life when you think about age of 15-year-old as a teenager. But anyway, but as I've, you know, pursued Jesus and I've come to, you know, people around me, I am convinced that living a life with Jesus is the best way to live. And when we submit to Him, friends, our lives are better in every single way. Does that mean that it's going to happen on the moment, in the moment? So yes, it could, because that is the all-powerful God that we serve. But it's faith. God wants us to sometimes outwork something that's in us so that He can take us to where we want. So when we get to where He wants us to be, we're able to sustain it because we've experienced and walked life out with them. Exactly like David, the patriarch David, if he did not have this understanding and revelation of who God is, he would never have gone onto the field. But from this place of understanding his relationship and who God was and who he was, he was able to face the Goliath on his own. And I'll often go to that story because I love that story. I should have actually had a picture up there. Evangelist Ray Comfort once said this. He said, when men don't fear God, they give themselves to evil. So they give themselves over, understand that, but we're talking about choices. They give themselves over to making decisions that are not good for them, their family, and their future. And then they look back and they wonder why their life has turned out, maybe the way it's turned out is because it's our choices. If you think about how powerful a choice is, think about if you carry offense and bitterness. It's a thought that now you're activating and you're making a choice to cut that person off and that person off, and you're doing the very opposite of what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is all about unity. So no matter how you're feeling, you always want to be in a position where you bring in unity and restoration and freedom back into that thing and not being offended and bitter and walking away. And if you are offended and bitter, you should actually go and sit down and have a cup of coffee and work this out because you want to be ambassadors of change and you want to bring reconciliation, because that's what 2 Corinthians talks about. When we are given a list of toxic choices that seems like a good choice for now, like I said, they're going to spring up all the time. It's the world we live in. We sometimes need to have something or some kind of reason to flee from these thoughts and these choices and decisions that aren't going to be good for us. That reason is a fear, reverence, and respect for God as you have learned to get to know Him. But friends, this is the key. When we find ourselves experiencing these kind of stuff, and we go, oh my gosh, I'm having to deal with this again. Oh my Lord, I can't believe that I'm constantly having to go around the mulberry bush. We start to get disappointed. We start to get like all embarrassed. You know, like I'm going to flee from this, but I'm not going to go to the Lord because this is embarrassing. No, I want to encourage you this morning. When this says that you want to flee and have a reason to flee, it said that reason is to the fear, reverence, and respect of God that you have for Him. So if that is the case, you want to go to that. In that moment, you want to go, the better choice is to flee towards your first relationship. And the reason why I say your first relationship, and this is why I'm saying that in 1 John, it says that we learn, it says that we love because God loved us first. Friends, our first relationship should be with the one who first loved us. I'm not talking about your wife and your husband and your kids and your children. I'm talking about having this wonderful relationship of going to the one who first loved you, who has given you the second chance, and has poured His grace out on you first, His mercy first. Everything that you have right now is from God, and we should be going to Him first in our relationships. Well, our first relationship should be Him. We should be relentless in our pursuit of this relationship before any other. Before any other relationship, you want to be diving into this relationship that you can have so freely with Jesus. So many people don't know the calling and the giftings that is over their life and what God has for them because they never actually truly go and dive into this relationship that exposes all of it and who God has created us to be, because we're stuck trying to do so many other things. Oh, I'm running out of time here. So I just want to jump into Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 34. I've got some thoughts around it that I'd like to share with us this morning. We're not going to be much longer. It says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Friends, if you think of you think of what people who are running to that stuff are ultimately looking for and wanting to see the end product. What is it? Peace, because now they've got the stuff. Oh, peace. Joy, stability, security, love. Let's carry on reading. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Friends, the world is desperately seeking and searching for peace, joy, love, all in the wrong places. So many people today are seeking out the wrong thing first. That's what we are doing. Lots and lots of people today. Piercing themselves along the way, causing grief, pain, and all kinds of stuff because of the choices they're making by choosing to first go and find the stuff in the world that they think is going to produce the very peace, comfort, joy, and love that they feel that this is what this stuff produces. In order for me to feel like this way, this is what I have to seek after first in my life. They think by attaining the better job, the better salary. Think about when this word talks about righteousness. I know it's understanding of the righteousness of being right before God, but so many people seek out relationships in the natural today where they need this desperate approval or this desperate need to be wanted by people, and they're willing to go through and do whatever it takes to put them in a place. Think about looking for husbands and looking for wives. To find a husband or to find a wife, you know, if I get that, you know, then I've made it. And I've got peace, I've got joy, you know, I've got love in my life. All these things are good. But just bear with me. But these things do not produce the very thing that the world is running after. So let's jump into Romans 14, verse 7. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Friends, the very thing that the world is running after and trying to get, we as born-again believers already have it. We have the peace, we have the joy, and we have the love through the Father, through His Holy Spirit in us. And when we start to seek and search out the things of the kingdom, we prioritize what's important to God, people, community, friends. God starts to add all that stuff for you. We're not living a life searching for peace and searching for joy. We're living from peace and from joy because we already been given it in the Holy Spirit. And from that place and that understanding of what we have and who we are and seeking after His kingdom first and His righteousness and getting to know Him as our Father God in heaven, friends, as we do this, operating from this place of peace and joy, God adds those things to you because His word is not a lie. His promises are clear in the scriptures that He has a plan and a purpose for your life, but we've got to align ourselves to where He's taking us as born-again believers. So we're not searching for peace and joy and security and love. We're loved by God. The peace and joy and righteousness comes through the Holy Spirit, and we have it. And we operate from that place, seeking first the kingdom, first His righteousness, first His people, first His call of God over your life, and those things will be added to you. I'd like to leave us with a few practical handles we can action in our lives as we continue to grow in this wisdom, because it's a lifetime of just growing in relationship, in wisdom, in understanding of who God is. And to help us just make better decisions and not just make bad decisions because we feel that we're on our own. Our prayer life. I want to encourage you today. If you have been on your knees praying and asking God for direction, to help you make better choices, decisions, and you can start to feel that there's a bit of stress and anxiety and concern and worry starting to build up because you're not hearing God. That is a clear indication to not make a decision, but to carry on praying. God opens doors and He closes doors. So I want to encourage you to continue to trust Him in your prayer life, even if you feel you're not hearing Him. Even if right now you feel like you have to make this decision. If there's not any clarity through your prayer to make this decision, I want to encourage you, don't make rash decisions. Continue to trust Him and say, I'm not going to make this right now. I'm going to continue to pray and I'm not going to. See, prayer is faith. Frustration and all that other stuff is feelings and emotions, and that's when we try to operate from our feelings and our emotions in the kingdom, that's when we start to make bad choices, and they're not the better choices. Meditate on His word, friends. Spend time in the scriptures. Anything that you need to know about your life or decision that you need to make is found in the scriptures. You can go in there, seek and search out, get handles, get equipped on the decisions that you need to make. I want to encourage you, listen to the audio Bible. Listen to preachers on Sunday. What you are doing here this morning, under the word of God, the message being preached, when we have questions and we're praying and we know we need decisions to be answered, God starts to wash us with His word and He starts to bring wisdom and revelation and He starts to bring clarity on what we should do next and what we shouldn't do. And then we take steps of faith and we activate those decisions based on faith, not on, like, if I don't do this, like, as soon as you got fear, don't make that decision because you know that it's going to be going down the way. But if you're feeling full of peace and you know, like, hey, this is the Lord, you can do it. Doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. No, it doesn't mean that there's going to be an outworking, but it's still the right one. We don't want to make bad choices. Journal. I'm not a big fan of journal, but I know this works very well. Journal the moments of God in your life. What do you mean by that? From the tiniest of miracles to the wild big testimonies that God is doing in your life. And then I want to encourage you, take that journal and start to see from your journal just how much of the presence of God is actually in your life. And then you go, oh my gosh, I've been going through all this stuff, but I look at my journal and I can see He's done this and He's done that. And He's still taking me over here. Then all of a sudden, there's a confidence to trust Him because you know in the midst of everything that you've been going through, as you read through your journal, you start to see, friends, that His presence and He was there all the time and that where you've leant on Him and how He's broken in. And then you are more confident to trust Him, maybe not making rash decisions or bad decisions. And maybe the better choice is just to continue to trust Him and move forward in that same area you are in. Community. Remember, this is all about making better choices for our lives, for our family, and for our future. Community. Grab a month plan and make a decision not to miss any up-and-coming event. Why? So that it can be full year. Absolutely not. You want to come into a community so you can hear what God is speaking to that community, what He's saying to that community. And the more you're in community, you can see what God is doing through the people, where clarity starts to come about who you are, your future, and you can make better choices moving forward. And then the final one is discipleship mentors. Who are the men and women that are sitting at your table that you're allowing into the space of speaking into your life when it comes to your choices and decisions that you want to make? And I want to jump into Hebrews 13, verse 7, just to confirm this. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Don't imitate the person. You imitate their faith because it was their faith of trusting God, leaning on His wisdom, walking with Him through the Holy Spirit that has got them to where they are today. So you can trust the faith. It's not so much about the person. What is, I suppose it is. They need to have a good track record. But I'm saying it's about the faith that has taken them to where they are today, where you can say, okay. And sometimes they might even tell you, you'll speak to someone and you're going through something and they've been through it. And they've got victory there. Now they can speak faith and authority into your situation about how to deal with this and navigate this and move forward. But what we do all the time is we go like this. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm feeling too embarrassed, too disappointed. Oh my gosh, I'm going through the same thing over and over again. Let me tell you, that's a lie of the enemy. He wants you there. God's saying, be exposed and be confident and comfortable because I already know what you're doing. Open yourself up to people around you that love you, care for you, that are going to come alongside you. They might not say the things you always want to hear because mentorship is character building and it's going to be difficult at times and you're going to have to just suck it up, buttercup. I've sucked up a lot, but I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for mentorship, it wasn't for a relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying that I've made it. I've got a long way to go. But the person I was 20 years ago, I'm definitely not that. And I strive every day. Better husband, better father. Well, and I try to be a better leader, but that's up for interpretation. But that is what we're doing. But it's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Make better choices and have people around us that care about us, love us, that even are not going to be afraid to say the things that are difficult to hear. Someone that keeps on just sugarcoating things doesn't love you. Someone that comes alongside you and tests you and challenges you, you know that guy loves you or that woman loves you. Why don't we stand as we finish off this morning? Friends, better choices begin with a fear of God. Friends, this week, let's lean in and use His wisdom when we have different choices to make in our lives. God bless you all. I pray that this message has encouraged you. It's you know, just giving you handles. And remember, the goodness of God is available 24/7 all the time. And He's saying His wisdom is He wants to give it to us so that we can outwork this life. And you know what it's about? It's about getting closer and closer to God and your calling and to glorify Him so that He can see His people free. I just say that with me. God wants to see His people free. Amen.